The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
Ah, yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends on once again a beautiful Saturday morning in our wonderful city. And, of course, this being a special day, as Father Christmas comes to town. Just imagine all the kids in the streets of Adelaide with a smile on their face, a mile wide, a special day, wonderful time of the year. As I welcome my panel this morning between now and 10 o'clock, and we're delighted to have Port Adelaide champion and superstar Hamish Arlen as part of the program. Hammer, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cage. Thanks for having me, mate. It's a pleasure to be here on a Saturday morning.
Have you started your grind yet, old son?
Not officially, but the grind never stops, Cage. I'll tell you what, we get 10 weeks off, but it's not much of a break. But no, ready to get back into it.
I'm not really happy with you, to be quite frank.
Why is that, mate?
Well, you've pinched Scotty Thompson. Hey. Port Adelaide, they just keep pinching players.
You know what? He's finally seen the light. What's it been, about 15 years since he left Alberton? He's finally seen the light, boys. He's back. We're wrapped to have him.
And then we welcome a man, of course, who's had a smile on his face a mile wide since the Socceroos qualified for Russia. And I talk about former Scottish champion, Albie Kidd. Morning, Albie.
Top of the morning to you, Cage. Good to see you, Hamish.
Albie,
go to Socceroos.
You haven't stopped smiling. Unbelievable.
Yeah, delighted that they're there. It was a poor, poor game. We'll go into that later on. We've got Graham Arnold on the show, as we all know. But look, great that they've qualified
off
for Russia.
Italy is staying home, Australia's going, yes, bring
well,
on.
Well, that's another story, isn't it? There's a lot of Italians, the coffee shops will be blank when the World Cup's on. Look, it's very, very sad. It'd be quite unusual to have a World Cup without Italy being in the competition.
I don't care. Australia's there.
You do.
I'm going to have a crack at you a little later. I'll give you the strong tip, Albie.
Geez.
No doubt about that. Okay, look, we're off and running. We're going to talk, as Albie told you, to Graham Arnold, having a wonderful year. And we'll also talk about the test side. Gee whiz. We'll talk to Chuck Berry. So stay with us, folks. It's going to be a fiery show.
Cage, we're going to have to change your name as well, okay? We've got Hamish. We've got Albie. You're going to have to be Mick Cage from now on, all right?
I like
Not
it.
Enough Scottish.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, good on you.
Like it is Dead Set Legends for your Saturday morning. Hamish Hardlett, Albie Kidd and KG Ken Cunningham for CMI Toyota 104.7 Triple M.
Plenty of things happening, but gee whiz, Hamish, and that'll be the big talking point with the naming of the test team yesterday. How in the hell can you pick a wicketkeeper to keep for Australia when that wicketkeeper is not keeping Free State? And I'll refer to Tim Payne.
It's a big question, Cage, but I'll tell you what, the other two boys, Neville and Wade, they had plenty of opportunities in the last couple of years. They haven't put the runs on the board at international level, so it's time for a bit of a shake-up. Timmy Payne, he was almost a prodigy in terms of Australian wicket-keeping several years ago.
Yes, he had
some finger issues, hasn't kept wicket for a little while, particularly in the longer forms of the game, but he's been doing a bit of stuff for the international T20 side, so clearly, his wicket-keeping skills are still up to scratch, and that's what the Aussie selections have chosen.
But surely, Hamish and Albie, if they're going to go past Neville and Wade, they can't give the job to a bloke, and I agree, he's a fine cricketer, Timmy Payne, that hasn't kept wickets. They had to bite the bullet and pick the young kid from Adelaide. He's going to be the long-term wicket-keeper for Australia, and pick Alex Carey. Was glaring.
Yeah, mate, I agree with you 100%, and especially coming from a couple of true blue South Aussie boys in myself and yourself, Cage. We would love to have seen Alex's his name
exactly
in the squad for sure. And you know, his glove work is second to none. He's arguably the best gloveman in Australia. Probably hasn't quite done enough with the bat to justify selection, but I've got absolutely no doubt that in years to come, we'll see his name in the baggy green for sure.
I can't come to terms with it. Look, here's Trevor Holmes. He's the chairman of the National Selectors. This is what he had to say about the selection of young Tim Payne.
With Tim, I think it's been widely acknowledged for a small amount of time now that he is regarded as the best gloveman in the country. Add that to the fact that he is our T20 wicket keeper and performs very, very well there. His batting has been pretty good of late. And then, of course, you go the other side of the coin, the unconvincing performances, in our view, of the other wicket-keeping contenders.
Oh, come on, Trevor. Who had the most dismissals last year so far as the wicketkeeper's concerned? Alex Carey. And he said, underperformed, fair dinkum. That's ridiculous. He should have been in the side. No doubt about that. And the other issue, of course, is the selection of Sean Marsh, Hamish.
Yeah, but I mean, again, another one where, you know, he's made plenty of runs in the last 6 to 8 weeks at domestic level, particularly in the one days, but he's made a couple of reasonable scores in the 4 day stuff as well. Yeah, you wonder how many opportunities he can possibly get before he really grabs it with both hands. So I reckon he's got one more up the sleeve, Cage. I reckon he's got the 9 live sort of rule going on with Shawnee there. But look, absolute class act. When he's in form and he's hitting the ball well, there's almost no better to watch than Sean Marsh. So it'll be interesting to see where they play him, whether they open him up at the top of the order.
They
can
bat him at
3. They can bat him at 6. Yep. So he's got that flexibility there, I suppose. And I actually don't mind the fact that they've gone with another specialist batsman a little bit further down the order instead of, you know, an all-round selection. I think
I'd have gone for Glenn Maxwell.
You would have gone for Glenn Maxwell. Yep. I know you're a big fan, big advocate of Glenn's, but I like the fact they've gone with a specialist batsman. Obviously, there's not a great deal of guys in super batting form at the moment.
Correct.
I think our bowlers are in really good nick.
They're the key.
But we need to strengthen up our batting lineup, so I don't mind that inclusion.
Look, the other bit of surprise was the omission of young Renshaw, the boy who came onto the scene last year. This is what our captain, Steve Smith, had to say about the omission of young Renshaw.
Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to get the runs on the board that the selectors wanted in the JLT Cup and the first couple of Shield games. And the Ashes isn't a place where you need to be trying to find your form. So I think that's great what the selectors have done. They've gone with the guys that are in form.
Yeah, that's a fair call from Steve. I agree with that. It's disappointing the young kid hasn't made runs. Look, give us your thoughts on the test team. Have the selectors got it right or have they got it wrong? 133.53. I think they've got it wrong on two fronts. I think Sean Marsh shouldn't be there, and I'm absolutely amazed that Alex Carey has been overlooked as the wicketkeeper. Give us your thought, folks. The lines are open. Have the selectors got it right or have they got it wrong? 133.53 is our get it wrong. Now, Hammer, you've got a bit of interesting news there. I can't believe this.
It's been brought to our attention that the recent Australian wicketkeeping selection, Tim Payne, is actually he's battling a chronic foot injury as well, Cage. He's suffering from a little bit of plantar fasciitis, which from experience can linger around and get quite painful from time to time. But he has quoted as saying, "I've had it for a few months, but it only hurts at the end of the day's play," which, Cage, you reckon will be all right after standing up and down on it for 5 days of test match cricket. And he's also said, "It's not 100%, but it will like Brisbane more than Hobart. It doesn't like the cold." So, mate, surely the selections panel would have known about that, I'm sure.
Well, you would hope.
They must have.
That even makes it more bloody stupid. Even sillier.
What's his name, Keith? Tim Footpin.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Nah, look, he'll be fine, mate. Give him...
look, he's a good lad. He's
let him warm
player.
Up. Let him warm up. I'm sure he'll get through the day's play. It might be a bit cold after 6 or 7 hours of standing up on it all day, but he'll be fine, mate. He'll be right.
Can't walk. 133.53 is our number. Give us a call. We've got Alex at Westbourne Park. Morning, Alex.
G'day, Alex.
We've got John.
John of Golden Grove. G'day, John.
Yeah, how you going, boys?
Hey, John.
Let's just go back, KG, and look at the bigger picture. 15 years ago, we had that many players going around that were available for test selection, and they were thinking about hiring them out to other countries because Australia was that good.
Yep.
What's happened in the last 15 years?
Well,
the Australian cricket, what they've done to it with this rotation system is ridiculous. I reckon, how many Shield players are playing at the moment? 100?
Yep.
I reckon 80 will get Australian caps this year in one form of cricket. Either in 2020, the one day or the test, we'll go through about 70 players. It is ridiculous. Back in the day, 20, 30 years ago, you used to play through the whole series. And if you got dropped, you would have been livid or never made the side again. Now, players are just playing, they're in, they're out. They don't know where they are. The stability is ridiculous. And the players that we had, that many good players are just falling by the wayside because there's no real emotion or attachment to the Australian side. I just don't see what's happened in the last 15 years. It's ridiculous.
It's a very good point, John. I hate the rotation system. If you're playing for your country, you want to do just that. Continue to play. You don't want to sit on your bum and not be a part of it. But the other thing that really concerns me as to why we're not getting some classy batters through the system. Is this the other forms of the game, like the big bats, the 2020? It's not allowing young kids to develop the correct technique, Hammer. That's my view on it.
It's a good point, Cage. I think the other thing is that various forms of the game have come about over the last 20, 30 years as well. So the boys are probably playing more cricket than they ever have in the last 20 or 30 years. So the call for a rest is probably right at the right time. I think, from a playing point of view, the more bowling or batting, I suppose, that you're getting at training or in a game style situation, the better you're going to become. And you don't want to lose that condition too much, I suppose. So the right break at the right amount of time is probably right.
Yeah, I'm a bit with John. I'd hate to be arrested from the test side, that's for sure. Good on you, John. Good point this morning. Alex of Westbourne Park. Morning, Alex.
Hey, g'day, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Alex. Thank you. Good, what's your view?
Who else you really put in, KG, that had the experience? Look, I understand Alex Carey, but I don't think he's got the experience.
Look, the kid had the most dismissals last year in Sheffield Shield cricket. That was the foundation for the kid. He's going to be the long-term glove man, no doubt. When they overlook Wade and Neville, he was the only option available. We're now going back to Tim Payne, good cricketer, terrific lad, but he's got a foot injury. He's 32 years of age and hasn't kept wickets for his state. There's no rhyme or reason why they should have done that. No rhyme or reason. When they've got a kid here that's a good club man and can bat. Yeah,
but how, Katie, they've done that all the way along for Adelaide or South Australia.
Well, yeah, but
we, the other thing is Chad Bates. Yeah, well, we go down that track and you go, holy shit,
Well, I
agree. So I don't know, but I just think for experience.
Yep.
They've probably gone with him for that, just that bit of experience for now. And you're right. If Payne doesn't work or he's injured, well, then Alex Carey is your man.
He's got to be the next man. I'll tell you what, in a few years' time, I think we're staring down the barrel of a predominantly South Australian test side. What about this, Cage? What about Head coming in at 3? What about Lehman at 5 or 6?
Well, there
Carey
you go.
With the gloves. We'll have Sayers rocking and rolling with the ball. Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's going to be very, very
wouldn't
exciting
that be
for
nice,
South Australian cricket.
Outdo the baggy blue for New South Wales. Wouldn't that be lovely? No, look, I agree. And the other thing that irks me is that on that issue is that Callum Ferguson's been absolutely
He's been overlooked
burnt.
Again. He can't.
Look, he's made 188. He's made 88 when we and he doesn't even get a second thought.
Yeah, and he's got a good Scottish name as well. Come on.
They're everywhere. Okay, folks, 133-53 is our number. Don't think we've got Graham Arnold coming up very shortly. You fired up, Albie?
I am.
Good.
Of course.
You're going to ask him the hard questions, Albie?
Very, very
Does
tough
Does he
questions.
Want the Australian job?
Yeah, I'm going to ask him that.
Good.
For sure.
Spoiler alert.
And Darren Berry will join us also on the cricket issue. What? Yes, Dead Set Legends with the Hammer and also KG and Albie Kidd. And Albie, you've got a special guest, old son.
Graham Arnold won the championship last year in the A-League. I'll tell you what, the great man himself is on the programme. Arne, are you there?
Good, Albie. How are you, mate?
Welcome, mate, and thanks for your time. Arne, look, firstly, I'd like to speak about the Socceroos. We did have a chat during the week off-air there, but the game against Honduras... For me, Arne, I thought it was a very dull affair. I've got concerns with the Socceroos. I thought the performance in Sydney on Wednesday was quite concerning. How did you see it?
Yeah, look, I don't think it was... I'd say even Ange would admit it wasn't our best performance of the campaign. When you had the pressure, obviously, that the players went out under, knowing that they had to win the game. And, I thought the atmosphere was really eerie,
It was, yeah.
A few games out there that... big games, and the crowd was... really boisterous, but the other night it was, you could actually, on the TV, hear players calling for the ball and yelling out. So it was, no doubt the whole stadium was under quite a bit of pressure and tense atmosphere, but, the job was done. But as you said, it wasn't the best game.
I just think that my main concern, or it should be a concern for the Socceroos, we're drawn against a strong squad in Russia, Arne.
Yeah.
Look, by the way, we've been rated 32 out of 32. We're the bottom rated team. But if they do draw a strong group, it just concerns me they could get embarrassed across there in Russia.
Yeah, look, that's, once you get to the World Cup, you're up against the best teams in the world. And, you see Argentina, they struggled to qualify and they're in top one. And then you look at some of the teams that missed out, like Italy and that. So, No, it's just great that we got to the World Cup. Obviously, there's a lot of work ahead, and whether Andrew's there or not is, you know, will be, you know, found out in the next couple of weeks, I hear. But at the end of the day, you know, getting the World Cup is the main thing. But as you said, Albie, once we get to the World Cup, it's also about performance and also about, you know, doing well on the big stage. And, you know, the game the other night showed that, you know, the players are still young, inexperienced, and once again on the big stage, it's dealing with the pressure. And I think that's something that, you know, it will need to happen in that time.
Annie, on Ange, he's had plenty of press there along the way, unfortunately. Yep. But if he did step down, you know, would you be one of the guys that would put their hand up for the job there?
Nah, look, Albie, I think that at this moment I'm just focused on the Sydney FC job. It's all hypothetical at the moment. You know, Ange has come out publicly and said he'll meet with FFA in the next few weeks and make up his mind of what he wants to do, whether he stays or goes. But if I'm a betting man, I think he'll stay. I think he's a guy that's put a lot of effort into this campaign. I think that, you know, he's worked hard with the players. The players want him there. And I think he'll come to an agreement with FFA eventually.
It's disappointing how he goes about his business, though, Ange. Let's be honest about it. I think we need somebody in there with a bit of charisma. That's big in my book. I think he's maybe lost the dressing room with Moy going back there and Rogic in certain areas there. What's your thoughts on that?
Look, Albie, I don't have any information on the inside like that. But, mate, you know, the hardest thing to do these days with a lot of it is controlling dressing rooms because of agents, you know. The agents, the player's not playing, and the agent gets on the phones and on the social media and they release the team before the actual team's been released publicly. And, you know, so it's a tricky situation. But, look, I think that the commitment from the boys will always be there for each other and for Ange. So I didn't see any of that through the campaign.
Arnie, we need to speak about Timmy Cahill. In his words, he's alluded to the fact that he's not getting enough game time at Melbourne City. Issues there again last night that we could talk about later on. But, you know, what's your thoughts on Timmy Cahill? Where is he going to play? Where can he play? If he's going to have to get game time to be looking at the June start of the World Cup in Russia?
Look, I think Timmy's a freak, mate. You know, like against Syria, you know, he's playing 10 minutes, 15 minutes here and there for Melbourne City against Syria. We need Timmy to step up. He steps up, plays 120 minutes, scores two goals, yep, and moves us forward.
He is incredible,
He's incredible, mate. And then 38 years of age, he hurt his ankle, and, you know, just his commitment to the national team is second to none. And, look, I agree with what he said. He needs to play. If he's serious about going to the World Cup, you know, you want everyone going who does go to the World Cup to be ready and prepared to play against the best in the world. And, you know, Timmy's getting 10, 15 minutes here and there against for Melbourne City. And, you know, it's not my job to select Melbourne City side, but, you know, if the player is serious about going himself, then, as he said, he needs to play, get minutes on the board, be 100% fit, you know, be in form, have a lot of match rhythm, and do his best to go. So, where he can go, you know, maybe, I don't know, where he will go. He alluded to maybe going back overseas, I think, and where that is, I've got no idea. But surely, if he was to leave Melbourne City, that there'd be another A-League club that
pick him up.
Would pick up such a wonderful person, such a great leader, and, you know, and someone that will do a good job for the club with playing plenty of minutes.
Very interesting point, but we'll watch that space. But look, coming up, looking at your club, Sydney FC, look, you've done a great job up there, Arnie. You've won a few trophies now, and you've set up off the park and on the park a tremendous setup there. You're coming off a shock defeat, having said that, against Central Coast, and you're playing a very, very improved Newcastle side tonight. How do you think the game will pan out, Arnie?
We expect to win tonight. You know, it's we've got a lot of will in the squad. We've got a lot of great mateship and a great culture. And you know, we let ourselves down last week, and that's from, you know, player number one through to player number 23, and plus all the staff. You know, the staff, we're all in this together. It's not us against them, and they didn't have a bad night. We all had a bad night. And, you know, it's first loss in 19 games, third loss in 45 games. So everyone can have a bad night. But for me, tonight it's all about a reaction. It's a reaction of letting ourselves down. And, you know, the boys have trained enormously well this week, and the intensity has been extremely high. The motivation and focus you can see is in their faces. And as I said, you will see a much improved performance tonight. And as I said, we expect to win the game at home. We haven't lost at home for, I think, now 730 days or something.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and we will continue that tonight.
It must be the coach, I think, Arnie. Now, listen, quickly, on Tuesday night, you're playing Adelaide United in the FFA Cup final. Are you looking forward to that game? It's a big game.
Why don't you call me tomorrow?
Good answer.
I'm only thinking about tonight first and winning tonight, and then 11 o'clock tonight. I'll have a pretty sleepless night tonight. 11 o'clock tonight, I'll sit down in front of the video and look at Adelaide. I saw them the other night. I know what they're about, but I'm focusing first and foremost on Newcastle tonight.
Good on you, Graham. We appreciate
fantastic,
your time,
Annie.
Graham Arnold.
Thanks for your time, mate. And I just want to say something to you. I've got my money on for you guys to go back-to-back. Don't let me down.
We will, mate. Don't worry about that. You'll get your money. Sure.
Graham Arnold, that special guest.
But we're not allowed to bet, right? We're not allowed to bet.
Exactly. Thanks, Annie.
No worries, mate. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Graham Arnold there. Dead Set Legends with KG, Albie.
We'll smash him.
And Hamish Hardler this morning.
We'll smash him.
The CMI Toyota on 104.7 Triple M. KG, Albie and Hammer. KG is Ken Cunningham. Albie Kidd. And Hammer, of course, Hamish Hartley, who's under the pump with Dead Set Legends here at Triple M.
He certainly is, Sean. And now, Hammer, what have you been doing in the off-season? You've still been doing a bit of running and all that sort of jazz?
Yeah, Cage, we've got to come back in pretty good reasonable Nick. Condition these days. So, mate, it was a pretty quiet, pretty low-key off-season. I didn't really get out of town too much. I went up to Cairns for a few days, went to Newcastle for a couple of days, but otherwise been floating around town. I've just been finishing off last couple of bits and pieces with a little house renovation that I've been getting done for a little while now, so I wanted to get on top of that. But plenty of training the last 4 or 5 weeks in the lead up to pre-season in just over a week's time.
Were you a bit nervous that when all the news broke about Kenny Hinkley maybe going to the Gold Coast? Were you a bit nervous that the coach may move?
Yeah, I was. And look, I'll be completely honest, Cage. Probably the morning that it was announced that he was re-signing, or probably a couple of hours prior to that, I was thinking
he's gone.
Yeah. Everything I was hearing, everything I was seeing, I think
he was gone.
As a playing group, don't get informed in terms of the real ins and outs of that type of stuff too much. That's left up to the admin and the footy ops guys. But I was convinced he was gone, but absolutely stoked that he's hung around. I saw him yesterday very briefly, Kenny. He looks refreshed. He looks ready to go for another big year.
Well, it's going to be a big year for Port Adelaide and for Kenny Hinkley Hammer, because you've traded away a third of your squad. The move's been horrendous in that area, and you've taken on, can I use the word, and I say this respectfully, rejects from other sides, like Rockcliffe, Motlop, Watts, and so forth. There's rumours now that Lindy Thomas may, in fact, join Port Adelaide.
Yep.
So from my point of view, and we spoke to Dean Brogan last week, Port have put all their eggs in one basket to say, this is our premiership year. If it doesn't happen, well then, you know, all hell could break loose.
Yeah, look, clearly we've been very, very aggressive in terms of that space. The list changeover has been...
Has that surprised you?
We've lost 11 guys. It's probably sort of leaned more towards that way over the last 2 or 3 years. I think Jason Cripps and Jeff Parker and the guys at head of recruiting and list management have done a great job in that space. I guess the pleasing thing is we've been able to attract really good players to our footy club, and I think the best footy of Tom Rockcliffe, Jack Watson and Stevie Motlop certainly make us a better team. It's a matter of getting those performances out of them
on a consistent
frequently than what they are at the moment.
Correct,
probably with the exception of Tommy Rockcliffe. I mean, week in, week out, he does some good stuff with the Lions, or has done. So the other guys, if we can get the best footy out of them more often, that'd be great. And I think if you look at, you know, Paddy Ryder and Charlie and the guys that we've brought across the last few years, we've been able to do that with them. So hopefully in the right environment,
those guys can play some great footy more consistently.
Well, let's hope so. Now, but Hammer, can I ask you about this launch of the seven aside?
Yes.
You're playing the Crows in February. What a joke that is. Seven aside.
Mate, you know, I think just about every professional sport these days has done something similar. You know, we talk about the 2020, the cricket, which has been around for quite a while now. I think the netball girls have got a similar sort of concept in their game nowadays. So I don't mind the idea. And
do you
I think,
know how it works? I've got no bloody idea.
Mate, I've got a bit of news for you here. So I'll read a little bit of the
right.
The rules and the features, I suppose, of the AFLX. Right. And basically what it's doing is it's replacing one of the preseason competition games. So instead of playing three of the JLT preseason games, we'll just play the two, and then one of the AFLX competition will replace one of those weeks. So basically, there's three venues that the AFLX matches are going to take place in. So one here in Adelaide, one in Melbourne, one in Sydney.
Yep.
So six teams will play at each venue, and those venues will then be split into two different pools. So effectively, there's three teams in each pool. You play each team in your pool once each, so effectively two games, and then you play the finalist from the other pool, if that makes sense, which it probably doesn't. But anyway, so teams made up of 10 players per side, 7 on the field and 3 on the bench. There's no restrictions in terms of the rotations. All matches will comprise of 2 10-minute halves, so 20-minute games, and then they're all played on the one day. So you play your 40 minutes worth of footy, the two games, and then the finalists will play off in a third game as well. So 60 minutes of footy effectively. And it'll be interesting to see how it's received from the public.
Well, good luck. That's all I'll say. Good
it's
luck.
Got your vote by the looks of things.
No, it hasn't got my vote. Yeah, but you're...
Just your preference, Hamish. Looking at normally, you'd play pre-season friendlies or a competition of some sort or whatever.
Yep.
This modified rules thing playing at Hyde Marsh, which is sacrilege, by the way. what's your preference? Would you prefer to play just the normal pre-season friendlies?
Look, I think, Albie, It's a very, very long season, and by the end of the season, your body is quite beat up. So, you know, the players are quite happy just to play the two friendly games, pre-season games, I think, because, you know, in the month leading into those games, you play a fair bit of footy at training anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of intra-club type of match play stuff going on. So by the time the pre-season stuff comes around, you're fairly well adapted to it. So I think just the two pre-season games is enough, and then I really do like the inception of this new style of AFLX footy.
There you go. Only time will tell.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Hammer, are you going to put your hand up to play AFLX?
I'll put my hand up. Absolutely. I love playying footy, whatever form it is. I've been playing AFL 9s the last few weeks, Cage. So I'll explain the rules to that to you in the break
next?
As well.
What next? Now, fellas, I must say Tuesday night was a big night. I like my soccer. I love AFL, but I do like soccer. But when Australia's playing, I must say, when I was watching that game, Albie and Hammer, I had goosebumps. Not that the game itself, standard-wise, was outstanding, but the fact, the end result and the prize at the end was the fact that us Aussies will qualify if we won for the World Cup. And to think we've done that, that is an unbelievable achievement, really. Countries like Italy didn't. They've won the most World Cups, but Australia qualified, and I had goosebumps. And I must say, Albie, at our pre-program meeting this morning, you made a statement that flabbergasted me. You said, when Australia go to the World Cup...
Here we go.
No,
fire up, Cage.
We will be embarrassed. I don't give a stuff if we are embarrassed. We're at the World Cup now, Albie.
All right, look, it's great that we've qualified for the World Cup in Russia. It's good for the code.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic for the code. There's no any doubt about that. But
better.
Let me touch on Italy. Okay, Italy played...
I don't give a stuff about Italy. I care about Australia.
But Italy's needed to play against Spain in their group. There's only one that qualifies, okay? Now, the playoff that they needed to play against was Sweden. They're ranked at 25. Australia played against Syria, as we know, and Honduras, ranked 77 and 69.
Yeah, so...
To me, the qualification routes need to be looked at, because that's not that fair, in my opinion. Now, the reason that says that Australia might get embarrassed is the fact that, look at the pots. There's 32 nations that go to the World Cup in Russia.
Yep.
Okay? There's four pots. We could draw Germany, ranked one,
Spain ranked 8th,
yep,
and Denmark ranked 19th in the World Cup, yep, in their group.
But are we keeping in mind this country and the Aussies' performances on the sporting arena? We could beat any of them on any given day. They'll start favoured, but don't underestimate the Aussie commitment and what we do as a sporting nation. We won't be embarrassed. I'm telling
passion,
you right
passion
here now.
Is a wonderful thing, Cage.
Sorry?
It's a wonderful thing.
It's fantastic.
We have plenty of passion in this country. That's the reason I'm here.
Look at the millions of dollars. Not that the dollars are the important thing. The important thing is we have, as a nation, the true Aussie spirit. I love
yep.
it.
But the reality is that if we draw that group of men, Germany, Spain and Denmark,
yep,
in Russia, that's going to ring tremendous alarm bells and we could possibly get embarrassed. That's my point.
No. You'll never embarrass.
No, I think that'll be gauged on what Ange makes his mind up on.
Yep.
If he's got an each way bet and he's got a club in Europe that's after him, I think Glasgow Rangers have made an offer for him, or they've spoke to him,
yeah,
or Shanghai at $3.8 million wage. I think he might jump ship.
Well, I
disagree with Graham Arnold's earlier comments that he'll stay. But I'll stand corrected. But if he's got an offer, because if he goes there and gets embarrassed through his team getting beat 6-0 or whatever, it affects his CV.
Albie, let me tell
you. So there's a lot to think about for Ange.
Yeah, there is. But let me tell you, whatever Australia do on the sporting arena, whether in this country or on the world stage, the Aussies will never, ever embarrass themselves. That's our standard.
The sheer assessment of the squad, let's not get mixed up with the Cahills, the Harry Kuehls, the Mark Vidukas. That was a very, very decent, good squad. This squad is quite weak, in my opinion.
Oh, gee.
Young Albie, young squad.
Oh, gosh.
Well, look, the main player weak. There, all I hear about is Timmy Cahill. He's 38 years of age and he's a freak. As Graham Arnold mentioned, he scores goals out his backside, and you know he scores goals when you don't expect him to score goals. He scored a great goal against Holland, as we all know, in the last World Cup. He's 38 years of age next month, and there's another 7 months before the World Cup starts. So he's also not getting any game time at Melbourne City. So there's a problem there with Timmy. Whether he goes overseas to a lesser club, because he's not really going to be capable of playing in the EPL these days, let's be honest about it, and have a reality check against Timmy. But look, I hope he gets it right. I hope he goes to a club and does get game time. I'd love to see him in the World Cup doing his stuff.
We're going to throw out the lines open to the Triple M family here. When the Aussies go to the World Cup in Russia, will we embarrass ourselves? Will the Aussies be embarrassed in Russia? 133353 is our number.
Despite qualifying, Albie Kidd thinks that the Socceroos are going to get embarrassed at the World Cup for 2018.
He's referred to them as weak.
So the question we're putting on our Twitter poll at the moment is, do you agree with Albie? Do you know, KG, do you know what the results are? 76% say yes.
Oh, what?
Thank you,
24% say, no, we'll perform.
That's not the Aussie spirit.
Well, that's what our Twitter family are saying.
That's
at the
a
moment,
reality
okay?
check, Kidge.
Beg your pardon?
That's a reality check.
No, it's not. I'd like to be explicit, optimistic. But I can't. Hamish.
What do you got for me, mate?
Well, what do you think about that?
Oh, look, you know, Albie's the expert in the room, mate, and I'm saying, if we've just scraped over the line to qualify for the actual World Cup against some of the lesser known countries around the world, then I think Albie might be right in saying that there's a potential that we might get embarrassed. I am very much all about the Australian spirit, and I don't think there'll be any huge blowouts as such, but I think that they might struggle to draw even or get a win over there, but we'll wait and see.
Okay, so let's be honest about it. I've mentioned three teams that there's a good possibility that they could draw. Germany, ranked 1. Spain, ranked 8. Denmark, ranked 19. Very, very good footballing teams. All with pros playing across the globe at very, very high levels is a problem.
And where are we ranked at the moment, Albie, as a nation? 40?
I think it's 45 or 45, 43.
And that's based on results in years gone by over the last...
Well,
two
it is.
Or 3 years.
Looking at what they've done to qualify for the World Cup, yep. Who knows? But I think the ranking would be, you know, in a realistic term, maybe 60.
In the with the current squad that we've got at the moment.
Yes, I think.
Yep. Well, if any of those countries take the Aussies lightly, that'll bring about their undoing. 133353, folks. Did you agree with Albie and to a lesser degree Hammer that that we're not going to go too far on the World Cup? In fact, Albie said they're weak. I know we're ranked 32 of 32, and I can't believe that 76% say yes. We've barely qualified. Well, we have qualified.
You've got to remember, I've got this funny voice, kids, but I'm Australian as well.
133353 is our number. We've got Gavin of Fulham Gardens. Gav, what's your thoughts, mate?
Morning, boys. G'day, morning,
Gav.
Albie.
Gav, how are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very passionate soccer supporter as well. Now, listen, after watching that game against Honduras, I thought we did well. Admittedly, we are going to be under pressure because there's going to be a hell of a lot of better soccer players.
Pressure builds diamonds, Gavin. Pressure builds diamonds.
How often does the underdog get up?
Correct.
How often does it happen? And it could happen. You know, hey, if we win two or three over there, that'd be great. You know, what Milo Jednak, the
Jednak,
can't pronounce his last name, but what he did in that game, that was just inspiring, you know.
But what you've got to understand, Gav, you've got to take into consideration, he's playing against Honduras, which are ranked 69 in the world. Honestly, looking at the game on Wednesday night, and I've got to be honest here, Graham Arnold's Sydney FC would have beat Honduras.
Okay. I think you're going to say beat Australia. Gosh.
No, they were poor side. I thought their tactics were all wrong, but never showed a spark at all. They had one player in Albert Ellis, his name was, who plays in the MLS in America. He had the spark, only one out of the 11 starting players. I was very, very disappointed with Honduras.
Good on you, Gavin. On with you, son. Never underestimate the Aussie spirit. Never, ever. It'll come back to bite you right on the proverbial. Thank you, Gavin. Julie of Newport. Julie, what's your take?
Yeah, I think I'm with Albie too on that one. I'm sorry. I don't think we'll be embarrassed because the boys will play with a lot of pride and passion for the green and gold. But, yeah, when you're playing with those sorts of teams, yeah, we're not in the same field. And if you've only got, you know, the number one man in our team and the rest are unknowns on the world stage, well, I think that's where we're in trouble.
Julie, did you watch Tuesday night's game?
I certainly did.
How were you feeling when you realised at the end of the game that the Aussies had qualified for the World Cup?
Very proud, very proud. Anything that Australia does on the world stage, or actually even at home for that matter,
exactly,
is always very inspiring. And like the last guy said, Gavin, he never right off the underdog, but I think on this stage we're a little bit underdone.
Just to come in there, Julia, looking at that, I think a lot of people in Australia just think it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to be able to create the Brescianos, the Harry Kools, the Vidukas and the Lucas Neils of this world. But when you compare that squad that played in the World Cup and got put out eventually by Italy, the squad currently is a mile off that mark. That's the problem.
So you're virtually saying, Abby, without putting words into your mouth, that soccer in this country's gone backwards.
I'm not saying that at all, Cage. What I'm saying is players come in cycles, you know, and that cycle of time where we had the Brescianos in that squad, that was a very, very good cycle for Australia. Then they got too old and then it drops off. It's a natural progression.
Well, Hamish, the test side was named yesterday, and gee whiz, it stirred a hornet's nest. There are players, former players having a crack at this selection, that selection, and the biggest one, of course, is the selection, the bolter, Tim Payne. Were you surprised?
Look, KG, I was surprised, considering he hasn't been wicket-keeping for Tassie of late. It was a surprise selection, but one that, from personal level, I actually don't mind. The other boys, Wade and Neville, haven't been putting the runs on the board at international level, so why not make a change?
Ooh, Hammer's coming from left field. Well, look, let's talk to a former wicket-keeper, not a very good one, and a man who, of course, coached the Redbacks, Chuck Berry. Chuck, welcome to the show. And Chuck, can I ask the question, the obvious one? How can you pick a wicket-keeper to keep wickets for his country when he's not keeping wickets for his state? How can you? It defies logic.
Yeah, it's a good morning, boys. It is staggering, and it's probably a question that needs to be directed to Trevor Holmes. So I, in agreeance with you guys, was totally baffled by the process of selection. Surely you must be wicket-keeping for your state
exactly.
to be selected for Australia. That is the point. However, can I say, I applaud the selection because I think Tim Payne's a very good wicket-keeper and a very good batsman. It's a bold selection, but I actually applaud it. and say well done, because as Hamish said, Wade and Neville they've left the door open and they never shut it. So now they've made a bold selection, but I disagree with the process of selection.
Well, Chuck, but if they're going to be bold, if they go past Neville, go past Wade, they've got to bite the bloody bullet and pick the kid from South Australia, Alex Carey. He's the long-term future, not go back to Tim Payne, who's not kept for Tasmania. Unbelievable. Yep.
I think, KG, unusual for you to be biased towards South Australia, but I think Alex Carey will be the long-term option, and he's got good raps on him. He had a good year last year. He probably hasn't started in blistering form, but he's been good. And I reckon his name was right on their radar. They've stumped us all, no pun intended, going with Payne. But you know what? Tim Payne's 32. I reckon now he'll play for 2 or 3 years unless he does something stupid. And Alex Carey's got a couple of years to then be the next in line.
Oh, fair dinkum.
Timmy Payne, a few years ago, prior to his finger breaks, he was the next big thing in terms of wicket-keeping in Australia, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, Sir Hammer, he was. But you know, he hasn't kept wickets.
No, you're right, but maybe this is the opportunity he needs to really make a stand on international level. Chuck, what about Sean Marsh, mate? Interesting selection. It's 8th time lucky for Sean. He's like a cat. He's got 9 lives just about, so he might have another one up his sleeve. But what do you make of that selection?
More comebacks than Ken Cunningham, Sean
Marsh. Don't be smart.
Just when you think he can't come back, he bloody pops up again.
Well, but, he keeps making runs.
Well, look, you know what? He's made 4 test hundreds. I think a lot of people, our listeners, I think they label the Marsh brothers together and go, oh, they're no good. Sean Marsh is a very good player. Coaching against him at state level, I know the player's got a lot of respect for him.
Yep.
And I think he'll do well. He'll bat at number 6, Hamish, instead of opening, because Bancroft will bat there. Sean Marsh will bat in the middle order. And I'm going to get behind him and support him. But you know what? If they're going to go back to someone with another chance, why didn't Callum Ferguson get a look? Because he made 180 in the MCG Shield game, and he backed it up with 88. So I reckon Ferg might consider himself a little unlucky.
Well, they burned him. They gave him one test match and burned him. Exactly right, Hammer. And look, like Glenn Maxwell should have been picked, for goodness sake. He made 100 last year. Yeah.
Well, 3 test matches ago, I think it was, KG, in the Indian series. We know Glenn Maxwell's a bit of an X factor. He turns matches. He's a good field. He is a little bit unlucky. I agree with you there. But that number 6 position... Look, I hoped it was going to be Travis Head, to be honest. That's what I was hoping. But unfortunately, young Travis hasn't taken his chances in these 3 Shield games. You know, Jake Weatherall's another young redback who's really firing at the moment.
Yep.
Keep an eye out for him.
Yep.
But, look, it's a bold selection. They've gone back to Sean Marsh. This is make or break for him. He has to nail it down in the first 2 test matches. Look, I applaud these selections. I do. A lot of people have been critical. I agree with Payne. I'm happy with it. Sean Marsh is bold, and Bancroft deserved his opportunity. And the one that we're all excited about, guys, Chad Sayers makes the 13, and let's get him into the Adelaide test.
Now, will he play in Adelaide this time? It was picked last time against South Africa, but they changed the side. Will he play in Adelaide?
Well, look, we know in Brisbane, the 3 main quicks and Lyon are going to play. Jackson Bird is the backup fast bowler.
Yep.
So Chad is technically behind him. However, when they come to Adelaide, they've named Chad for a reason. His record is outstanding, in particular at the Adelaide Oval. The day-night pink ball, I wouldn't be surprised. It should have happened last year, and I really hope with this South Australian hat on that Chad Sayers gets his much-deserved test debut at the Adelaide Oval. And if he does, Ken, I'll be there, and it's your shout.
Well, that's the bad news. Chuck, we appreciate your time. Look forward to a great series, and all the best, Chuck.
No worries, boys, and good luck, Hamish, in pre-season. Hope you have a good year next year, mate.
Good on you, Chuck. Thanks, mate. I appreciate it.
Chuck B there. Good lad, Chuck B. I just hope it's a hard-fought series against the Pommers. I mean, that's what we need.
I've got no doubt that it will be. I think the Aussies might just have the upper hand at this stage without Ben Stokes in the English lineup. I think that obviously favours the Australians quite significantly, and hopefully these batsmen can stand up and make a few runs, put
exactly
on the
board. Right. Our special guest was Chuck Berry.
On Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Don't make me angry.
It's time...
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
...for the Rage KG.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the eve of one of the most important Ashes series between Australia and England in a long, long time, it starts next Thursday, would you believe, I was absolutely stunned and gobsmacked to hear the comments of James Sutherland, who is the CEO of Cricket Australia. This is what he had to say. Listen to this.
In many ways, there's so much doubt about Test cricket and its future. I think in some parts of the world, it really is in a desperate state, and that's partly because it's just not commercially viable. I think there are some really significant warning signals in some parts of the world.
In effect, what he's saying there, in my view, is Test cricket is dead. Now, those comments, from my point of view, are both unprofessional and very, very ill-timed. We in South Australia have been the prime mover of doing whatever we can to protect cricket's greatest asset, and that is Test cricket. Country versus country. Nothing bigger, nothing better than that. South Australia pushed for the introduction of day-night test matches with the pink ball. It was an enormous success here in Adelaide, as it will be in a week and a half's time. And it's now been done in other parts of the world. This is the second occasion, I may say, that James Sutherland, in his capacity as CEO of Cricket Australia, has stuffed up. Look at his terrible handling some months ago of the player pay dispute, when there were threats by players to go on strike. Even the Ashes tours, which is underway now, came under the spotlight of perhaps not going ahead. James, just do your job of what you're paid to do, and that's to promote cricket. Don't continue to knock the bloody game that feeds you.
Ooh. That is the Rage Cage. And this is Dead Set Legends on 104.7 Triple M. We're going to be back in just a few moments to wrap it up. Thanks to CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer on Triple M.
Now, Hammer, the season's not far away. Once Christmas is here, we're almost into pre-season and so forth.
Yep.
You must be pleased when you look at the draw of both. Well, you wouldn't be pleased for the Crows, but both sides have got very good draws for the coming season, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Cage, mate, to be honest, like, I haven't had a decent look at the draw. I know, I think we've got Frio in the first game, yep. But mate, at the end of the day,
you've got to play
everyone. Yeah. You've got to beat everyone to get the ultimate success. So I haven't had a great look at the draw, to be honest. We'll go over to China again, which is going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Obviously, we'll play the Crows a couple of times, which are always a huge event.
You're behind the eight ball a bit too, Port Adelaide in the showdowns, Hammer.
Yeah, we've been knocked off pretty comfortably the last couple of years, mate. So we'll have to do something about that in 2018, Cage. Don't worry about that, mate. We'll make it nice and tight.
So you're looking forward to the year?
Yeah, I can't wait.
After having a taste this year of finals?
Yeah, it was good to play a little bit of September footy. It was obviously heartbreaking the way it all ended.
Yep.
But, you know, this time of year, Cage and Albie, you've spent sort of 6 or 7 weeks away from footy, yep. and you just look forward to getting back in the routine and getting around all the fellas again down at the club and getting stuck into a pre-season. It's always tough and gets pretty warm a bit later in the year, but we've done it for long enough now that we know what to expect, so we can't wait.
Beautiful. Now, we've got a big game on Tuesday night, soccer-wise.
Yeah, FFA Cup final, Cage. Adelaide playing Sydney Sydney.
We'll smash them.
There's a big factor here. Adelaide playing on Thursday and Sydney's playing this evening.
Correct.
The recovery time. I think that's a massive factor. Okay, recovery time. I'm tipping Adelaide for
a win. Come on, the boys. Get up.
Go, the boys.
So you're tipping Adelaide?
Definitely.
Gee whiz.
Recovery is massive in modern day professional sport. And Thursday to Saturday, that's a lot of time, Hamish.
Mate, two games in 3 or 4 days for the Sydney boys. It's going to be a tough ask. So back in the United lads in all the Reds.
Absolutely magnificent. I love to see them smash. I don't like Sydney one little bit. Hamish, thanks. I like them like Port Adelaide. Hamish, thanks.
It's nice. He's still here.
Nah, look, Hamish, thanks for being with us. I've really enjoyed your coming this morning. Thanks for your contribution.
Go on, Cage.
Albie, Socceroos are weak. I'm going to have a word to you, Albie.
And big shout-out to Andrew Jarman, of course, our mate, one of our Dead Set legends who's playing cricket today. I know, Cage, you're going to be there, definitely, aren't
exactly,
you?
Exactly, yeah, I'll be there. And, yeah. I'll be back next Saturday morning with the team between 8 and 10.
Yeah, and if you want to check out Jars play cricket today.
No, thanks.
I shouldn't laugh like that, should I? The corner of Main South Road and Wheatsheaf Road is where you'll see him for the Morford Vale Cricket Club.
The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota,
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the 1-hour express service.
Triple M.